Okay, Monsieur Mother, we'll straightly go to the parable. Okay, this parable, we know that our Lord spoke so many parables. Today we're going to see one parable that is mentioned in the book of Luke, Brother. Luke 15, chapter 8 and 9. Can you read, Brother, Monsieur Mother?
Okay, Brother. Luke 15. Okay, it's written here, Luke 15, 8 and 9. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she have found it, she call her friend and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.
Okay, good. So here, our Lord tells actually a parable about a woman having 10 pieces of silver. And just because she loses one piece of silver, she's so much of concern for that one lost piece that she makes her house, you see, upside down. She lights a candle and searches for that lost coin. She sweeps the house and cleans the house. And as soon as she gets that one silver coin, she rejoices so much that she calls all her neighbors and all her friends and tells them also to rejoice with her. Why? Because she has got that lost coin. Now imagine if we are in that condition, will we do the same thing? Imagine if we are having 10 coins, you see? If you lose one coin, if you have 10 rupees, if you lose 1 rupee, and will we get into so much of concern that we keep on searching that one lost coin? Will we make the house upside down? Will you go light a candle and sweep the entire house until we find that one coin? Now, buying a candle itself will cost more than a rupee. And who will just concern about one coin? But why did this woman take so much of interest for this one coin? And moreover, even after getting that coin, will we go and tell to our neighbors, you know, I lost 1 rupee today and I got that 1 rupee. Will we go and tell to all our neighbors or all our friends and call them and tell them, you also rejoice with us? If you tell such a thing, everybody will think that we are mad. Therefore, this cannot be a literal statement at all. Matthew 13, chapter 34 and 35, Jesus tells that Jesus spoke the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. So whatever parable he has spoken, it is a concern of some secret about the kingdom of heaven. Now, to understand this parable, we need to understand a little bit of background about Israel. This parable is actually speaking about a custom that was there in Israel, a marriage custom. In Israel, the marriage used to never take place immediately. First, they used to do the engagement. And after 1 year after the engagement, then only the marriage used to take place. And while the engagement is to take place, they used to give a few gift or few items as a token of love. Like today, while engagement, what do the people do? They exchange rings, engagement ring. That's a confirmation that we're going to get married. Until marriage, you see, these things has to be maintained by either party. So similarly, you see, in this parable, actually, you see, the 10 silver coins are mentioned. In Israel, actually during the engagement process, the bridegroom side, they used to give a band on the head for the, you see, bride. And it used to have, you see, a a thing where you can clamp silver coins, and it used to have generally 10 silver coins, and it was the duty of that bride to cleanly maintain, you see, this coins until the day of marriage and show it to the bridegroom's side, or else the marriage would be cancelled. Imagine if the marriage is cancelled, will somebody marry that girl? Nobody would dare to come and marry the girl, because everybody will think, oh, some problem is there with this girl. Oh, that is the reason marriage is got cancelled. So in this case, it was a life and death matter. Hence, as soon as she lost that coin, she made her house upside down. You see, she lit the candle, swept the entire house. Why? Because her marriage will be cancelled and nobody would ever marry that girl. That is the reason as she got that coin, she went and told to her neighbors. Why? Because the neighbors are the most dangerous person. You see, they immediately go and tell to everybody, oh, you know, what has happened to the neighboring girl? She's not that, the token of engagement. She's not the coin. Immediately news will go to the bridegroom. What will the bridegroom people do? They will cancel the marriage. Hence, she told her neighbors and friends to rejoice. Now, what is the meaning of this one? We all know that church has got engaged to Christ. Correct, no, brother? Read. 2 Corinthians 11:2, brother. 2 Corinthians 11:2, brother.
I will read from the screen, brother.
Mm-hmm.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
So the church is engaged to Christ. So when will the marriage take place? The marriage will take place at the second coming of our Lord. Read Revelation 19:7.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Marriage of the Lamb has come. The wife has made herself ready. That means she is prepared. So she has to be prepared. If you need to get married, then we need to prepare ourselves. Now, what is this 10 silver coins signify? That means 10 is also important. If you take 9, no. If you take 1, that is also of no use. So, what are the 10 silver coins represent in the Bible? What is the meaning of silver in the Bible? In the Bible, silver represents the truth, the word of God. Read Psalms 12:6, brother.
The word of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times.
See, the word of God is like a silver purified 7 times. 7 in the Bible is perfect. Perfectly pure is God's words. So the word of God represents the 10 silver coins. So if you lose one, what will happen? Marriage will get cancelled. So all the 10 important truths are important in the Bible. But in that parable, we see one coin was lost. So similarly, you see, when the church was there with Christ, all the truths were there with the church. You see, all the real truths of doctrines, it was with the church. But as the days went on, when the apostles and all died, the Bible was hidden in the dark ages. You see, in the Latin languages, there was no Bible at all. What happened? Slowly, one coin got lost. As soon as that one coin was got lost, when the church realized that the important coin is lost, they began to search in the house. Which is the house? You see, we are the household of faith. This is our house. In church, among Christians only, this truth was sought again. How? The house was swept, made clean. This happened during the Reformation. You see, what happened? When the Protestants, you see, they revolted against the Roman Catholic and the Reformation started. All the hidden things in the Bible was, you see, made clear. There was a lot of dust of traditions and false belief. All this was swept away and the word of God was searched. How? By lighting a candle. What is the meaning of candle in the Bible? The word of God. Read Psalm 119, 105, brother. Psalm 119, 105, brother.
The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Very good. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You see, lighting this lamp only, the church began to search for the truth. Then what happened? That one last coin was found. Once it was found, she began to rejoice and call her neighbors and her friends. Who is his neighbor? Who is his friends? We'll see. Now, let us see what are the 10 important coins. That means the 10 important truths in the Bible. You see, the first coin is the creation. What is the creation? What does the Bible say? You see, the Bible says that man was created in the image of God. He was created from the dust of the ground and made in the image and likeness of God. You know, dear brethren, but what does today the whole world believe? The whole world believes today the Darwin's theory that man came from the ape. You see, man came from the monkey. And slowly the chimpanzee became ape, and ape became hunter, and the Stone Age was there. And slowly Iron Age came. Now you are in the computer age. You see, that's what the world believes. What does the Bible say? Did man create man from a monkey? No. Man was created from the dust, not from the monkey. Dear brethren, and they tell that this is nearly millions of years before that man was created. No, the Bible doesn't say so. You see, Bible says that it has been a few thousand years that man was created. The Bible gives exactly the date. So this is the first coin. The exact meaning of creation of man. Man was not created as a monkey. It did not form automatically from the amoeba or protozoa. If it was so, why today the monkeys are remaining the monkeys or chimpanzees are remaining chimpanzees? Why don't they develop and become into a human being? And why don't human beings further develop into some other else? Why they are stopping to be only at the human being level? Therefore, this is the first coin. And the second coin is related to the first coin, that is death. What did God say to Adam? You don't eat the fruit thereof. If you eat the fruit thereof, what will happen, brother? Masamada, what will happen if you eat the fruit?
You can be like
God. You can be like God. Then that is what Satan told. What did God tell?
You won't be die.
What did God tell? If you eat the fruit, what will happen to you? What did God tell to Adam and Eve? If you eat the fruit, what will happen?
Then you will die from this prison.
You will die. Isn't it? What did God say to Adam? If you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. You see? Now what is the meaning of death? Death means the last moment you leave your breath. Is it death? No. From birth to the day you go to the grave, the entire thing is death, dear brethren. Therefore, what did God do to Adam? He condemned them and cast them out of Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3rd chapter 18 and 19, it says, cursed is the ground for thy sake, thorns and thistles shall bring. The set of thy brow, thou shall eat until thou go to the dust. And God, you see, if in his wisdom, not only condemned Adam, but the entire race of Adam into death. Therefore, we see now, as in Adam, all die. Every man are dying in Adam. Read Romans 5:12, brother. Romans 5:12.
Where, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passes upon all men, for that we all have sinned.
You see, as by one man sin entered into the world, and by that sin death, and this death passed upon everybody, because God condemned everybody into sin. You see, dear brethren, so the people, everybody are dying today. Why? Because of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. Isn't it not eternal torture? We have seen the subject now, brother, soul. And hell. We have seen the subject. What is the meaning of hell in the Bible, brother? Muslim brother. Where is hell?
Hell. I think it's actually, it's not the place, but it's like imagination on the chapter of Revelation is one.
Okay, where is that imagination? Where is that imagination? Where do you find that imagination? Where can we find that imagination on this earth?
No, imagination. I think I said, I want to say that sign. It's a sign. Syllabus language.
Okay, where is it?
Isn't it on Revelation?
In Revelation. No, in earth, where is it? In Revelation is there, in Bible is there, okay. In earth, where is hell? Where can we see the hell in earth?
Earth, I think.
Tell me.
Earth.
You know it, but you have forgotten it. I'll give you a clue.
Inside this land.
Where?
On the surface of the earth, maybe.
On the surface of the earth. You know, what is that one, actually? That is grave. Isn't it? That is the grave, dear brethren. So, in the Bible, hell means what? Grave. We studied that one, no? The Hebrew and the Greek word. Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, Tartaro. You have forgotten it. You see? So, in the Bible, that is grave. So, what is after death? If you see, there is nothing after death. Therefore, the second coin. You see, the first coin, the second coin are related. God created man in his own likeness and gave him the condemnation of death. Not that he is going to be tortured in hell forever and ever. Okay, brother? The third coin is related to the second coin. Just because the wages of sin is death, the third coin is the ransom. Jesus died for us on the cross. For why? Because he paid a ransom for everybody. Read, brother. Mark 10:45. Read, brother. Mark 10:45.
For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give him and to give his life a ransom for many.
Give his life a ransom for many. So what is the benefit of ransom? You see, just because Jesus paid the ransom to Adam, all that are in the graves shall come forth, you see, in the resurrection. That's what Jesus said, no? John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is going to come. All that are in the graves are going to come back. We see in the subject of ransom. Remember that the second class itself is the ransom class. There's one God and one mediator between man, Christ Jesus, you see, God and man, that is man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. You see, the word ransom in Greek is anti-Lutheran. Okay, so Jesus not only paid ransom for Christians, he gave for the entire world. How is it possible for one man to die to everybody? It was possible because he paid his life to only one man, that is Adam. If he pays that life to Adam, automatically, as everybody are condemned to death in Adam, everybody will be resurrected in Christ. Okay, this is the third coin. And the fourth coin is justification. You see, justification by faith. See, we are all sinners. Okay, nobody is perfect before God. But yet, we have access to God's throne. How? It is by our faith. By faith, all our sins are forgiven. Jesus said, no, if any man believes on me, all his sins are forgiven. How is it? Not literally forgiven, but by faith. You see, read with Romans 1:17, brother. Romans 1:17.
For therein is the kingdom, righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith. This coin was found by Martin Luther. Martin Luther had so much of doubts regarding the rituals and ordinances in the Roman Catholic system. But once, you see, he read this verse, he came to know that the just shall live by faith. It is only by faith that we are justified before God. Read with the Romans 5:1, brother. Huh?
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
It is justification by faith, not by our works. So, it is not because of our belief or any confession or doing any rituals or prayer or taking the rosary, nothing. All those things will never get us righteousness. So many people in this world have weird imagination of getting righteousness, of pleasing God. But what does the Bible say? We can only please God and get justified only by faith. Once if we have faith in Christ, then God gives us this robe of righteousness. And through this robe of righteousness, we are justified before God. Okay? So, not by confession, not by giving offerings to the Lord. Okay? Once they had this belief, but when Martin Luther came and read all these things and all, he brought everything to light. You see? And he burnt all this, doctrines of the Roman Catholic system. So, that's the, you see, fourth coin. Justification by faith. Now, fifth coin is sanctification. Sanctification means what? Consecration or living a life pleasing to God. This is what our Lord did at the age of 30 years. He immersed himself, you see, at River Jordan, and God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. So it is the same thing we need to do. After receiving the justification from God, we need to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? Read Romans 12:1, brother. Romans 12:1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your responsible service.
Which is your reasonable service. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay? So, that is making a covenant with God. That from today, I am going to offer myself as a living sacrifice. We have studied about this one in the church class. You see, there are difference between a believer in this world and a follower of Christ. So a believer in Christ just believes in Christ. But the follower of Christ, what does he do? He follows the footstep of Jesus. What did Jesus say? If any man wants to be my disciple, what he should do, brother?
He must leave their family. He must leave their wives, children, wealth, and follow God.
If you leave everybody, then we'll be alone. Now we'll become father and nun. Good. Matthew 16:24. Read Matthew 16:24. What is the meaning of it? We'll see. Matthew 16:24. Huh?
Matthew 16:24. Right? Okay. It's written here. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Deny himself?
Yeah.
Take up his cross and follow me. Okay. But then what you said was correct. But it is in a different, you see, way. Now that we need to literally sacrifice our life and family and all and leave everybody and go in like a sannyasi. Okay? So see, here in the divine plan chat we can see, R is a place of sinners. So yen is the place of justifications. Once we believe in Christ, we come to this level. But there's one more step we need to go. The plain yam. Jesus, actually, when he took baptism, he came to this level. So this is the plane of sacrifice or sanctification, where you deny yourself. Carry the cross means take responsibility for Christ's sake and follow his footsteps, follow his teachings. Okay, the sixth coin. So which is the sixth coin? If you see, the sixth coin is election. What do you mean by election? So many people believe now that even before we are born, we are chosen by God in our mother's womb. You see? Actually, if you see, nobody is chosen from mother's womb. Okay? God has selected a group. We have studied about this one in the church class, that church means there is a little flock. And what is the number of the little flock, brother? Do you know the number of little flock? Little flock's number. The church. How many members are the church? Who is going to be part of the bride of Christ? What is the number? Do you remember? We studied in the book of
1,44,000.
Very good, brother. Excellent. So that is the 1,44,000 who are sealed, you see, with God's Holy Spirit. These are the people who are going to be faithful to God until their death. Therefore, Jesus said, no, many are called, few are chosen. You see, many are called to the truth. But among them, only few are chosen to sacrifice and still faithful. It is only few people. So, God has not selected individuals, but he has selected that group. And let us read, what is the qualification to be of that group? Ephesians 1:4.
According as he had chosen us into him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Ah, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Not that he has chosen individuals like Raju, Ashish or Mosam. No. But he has chosen the church, the entire church. Anybody can be in that part of the church. But how should they be? They should be holy without blame before him in love. Love should be there. You see? So this is the qualification. Apostle Paul also tells in Romans 8:29. Read, brother. What is the qualification? Romans 8:29.
For whom he did, for knew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
See, he determined first only that how should we be? We should be like whom?
Son of man.
Yes, Jesus Christ. Okay. So this qualification God has chosen before the foundation of the world, not individuals. If any of the individuals, let it be anybody in this world, if they achieve the target, definitely God will give them the, you see, immortal life. Therefore, this immortal life is promised to this little flock. Okay, brother. Okay, now seventh coin. Now seventh coin is the truth about God. Now you tell me, who is our God? How many persons? How many persons is our God? Tell me, brother. How many gods we have?
We have only one God. He is Almighty God.
Very good. Very good, brother. So what about Jesus? Who is he?
He is Son of God.
Very good. That's what the Bible says. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. Man Christ Jesus. Okay? Read 1 Corinthians 8:5-6, brother.
For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be God many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we be him.
There's only
who is
one
fighting.
God. Is a God Almighty. We got only one Lord. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. So we haven't seen the nature of God, that God has got four attributes. Okay. Okay. Now, eighth coin. Now, eighth coin is Jesus' second coming. So when is Jesus going to come? When is
he
going to come,
going to come soon.
Soon. Oh, very good. Now, Jesus said that one 2000 years before. Even after 2000 years, if it doesn't come, how soon is it, brother?
Yeah.
That is really a very joke. Huh? Coming soon, soon, soon. Huh? If I tell to you that I'll come and meet you in Japan very soon, even after 2000 years, if I don't come, what will you do?
because we can also know that for God, 1000 years is like one day.
Super. Very good, Vasan Brother. Excellent. So we'll see how soon. Okay. We'll shortly see the subject of what? Second coming. Correct? No? Okay. How about second coming? It is given in the Bible or not? Is it given in the Bible?
Given.
Given. Then how soon? We need to study from the Bible, no? Then only we'll come to know. Bible says, no, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. With a shout, like a sound of archangel. So Jesus will come with a trumpet, blowing, all the angels will blow the trumpet and come. Okay? We'll see. And now let us read. When Jesus is going to come, will we be there on the earth or not? Read Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. What happens when Jesus comes?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he'll with me.
See, when Jesus comes, he tells, I will stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will come with him and sup with him, sir. That means what? When Jesus comes, the church will be there on the earth. So we can identify Jesus, sir. So how we are going to identify Jesus? We're going to study all those things in the parable. It is, the clue is given in the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay? Okay. It is also given in the book of Daniel also. So we're going to study in very detail. Okay? Now let us come to the ninth coin and the last coin. Now, which is this one? This is about a 1000-year reign of Christ. Now why it was lost? In all the churches, they speak everything. But do they speak about 1000-year reign?
Yeah.
Oh, they speak about 1000 years.
It's not common in all zones, but some few.
Really. Good. Very good. We appreciate it. But what do they speak about 1000 years? The 1000 years, Jesus will come and judge everybody, Correct, no? Huh? Correct, no, brother?
Probably,
yes. But there is a lot of things that is going to happen in the 1000 years, sir. We need to see that one also now. What is the things that will happen? It is not only judgment. You see, dear brethren, all the dead people will come back to life. Their ears and eyes will be opened. Today, even though they have their eyes and ears, can they see the truth? Can they hear the truth, brother?
No.
In the resurrection, all the dead people will come back to life on the same earth. Their ears will be opened. Their eyes will be opened. Then they will see the truth. Read Isaiah 29:18, brother. Isaiah 29:18.
And in that day shall the deaf hear the word of the book, and the eye of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness.
In that day, in the 1000-year day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book. Eyes, see which book? School book?
In that day, brother, everyone will know the truth, no?
Everyone will know the truth. This has to be spoken in the churches. Why they don't speak? There will be a highway of holiness. Remember three ways? We studied the class of three ways, no, brother? Narrow way, broad way, then? Which way? Highway. Isaiah 35. There will be a highway of holiness. Everybody will come back from the grave. Imagine what joy, what peace, and what comfort. Huh? In the 1,000 years, what will the animals eat?
No, animal will not be ample for man.
Ah, but animals will be there or not?
The animal will also be there.
Ah, very good. Lion, it will be there, brother. Lion, cheetah, leopard.
Everything will be there. And okay. 1,000, I think. In my thoughts, I have learned that no, God wants to. In 1,000 years before he was planning to do the same things to Adam, but it cannot be fulfilled. No.
Read Isaiah 11:6-9. Read with her. Isaiah 11 chapter 6-9.
Isaiah 11:6-9 is written here.
11 chapter 6-9.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, mm-hmm. and the leopard shall lie down with the kid,
mm-hmm.
and the calf and the young lion, mm-hmm. and the flirting together,
mm-hmm.
and a little child shall lead them,
mm-hmm.
and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the mm-hmm. lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking
lion shall eat what, brother?
Straw.
Straw? Oh, your lion will become pure vegetarian. Then?
At that time.
Very good, brother. In the 1,000 years. So, where are
so,
these things?
I think the flesh flesh is not for eating, brother. It's not for the flesh.
Flesh is for eating now. In the 1,000 years, no flesh, no non-vegetarian, only pure vegetarian.
So before God, before on the creation, on the face of Adam, God had created Adam. God had created lion also, carnivorous, right?
No. Read. Very good question. Super question, brother. Read Genesis first chapter, brother. Sorry, second chapter. One minute. Fifth verse you read there.
Second chapter, fifth.
One minute. Second chapter. First chapter, verse 29 and 30, brother.
And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you is shall be for meat.
See, so Adam was given what food? Non-vegetarian, vegetarian? Read that verse again, brother. God is telling to Adam that what is your food? Read verse 29 again.
So, it shall be for meat. What does it mean?
Meat means what? It shall be for you to eat. Instead of meat, this is what you have to eat. So, what you were supposed to eat? Read that verse again, 29.
Okay. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb.
Every herb.
Yeah, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a
tree. Every tree.
To you, it shall be for meat.
It shall be for your food. Meat means what? It shall be for your food. Okay. So,
yeah.
What did God tell to Adam to eat? Vegetarian or non-vegetarian?
Only vegetarian.
Only vegetarian. Read next verse. There is a proof there also. 30th verse.
31st?
verse 30, next verse.
And to every beast of the earth.
And to every beast of the earth, every animal of the earth.
And to every foe of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat.
For every beast of the earth, what is given for food, it seems? What is given for meat?
Herbs.
Every herb. Correct, brother? Every herb is given for meat for every beast of the field.
So, the meat is written here for the food, right?
Correct, brother. See, there is a small footnote given there, correct, no?
Yeah.
Food. You read in a Nepali Bible. Read. You have got Nepali Bible?
Yeah, I have Nepali Bible.
Please read verse 29 and 30. We will see what was his menu, veg or non-veg. We'll file a case, don't worry. If it is non-veg, we'll file a case. We'll ask God why you're given so much of confusion. Ask, read, brother. Genesis 1, 29 and 30.
Okay, brother. Can I read in Nepali, brother?
Read, brother, please.
अनि परमेश्वरले भन्नुभयो हेर म तिमीहरूलाई पृथ्वीका सबै बिउ उमार्ने बोटहरू र फलमा नै बिउ हुने सबै फलका रुखहरू दिन्छु ती तिमीहरूलाई आहारको निम्ति हुनेछन्
आहार मिन्स व्हाट
आहार मिन्स फूड
फूड दैट वाज दैट इज द प्रॉपर ट्रांसलेशन सी सो व्हाट एडम एट वेज और नॉन वेज
टोटली इज वेजिटेरियन
वेजिटेरियन नाउ रीड वर्स 30
अनि पृथ्वीको हरेक पशु आकाशको हरेक पंक्षी र जमिनमा चलहल गर्ने हरेक जन्तु हरेक प्राणी जसमा जीवन छ तिनीहरूको आहाराको निम्ति म हरिया वनस्पति दिन्छु
वनस्पति हरेक जन्तु हरेक जीव वनस्पति व्हाट मीन्स दैट मीन्स वेजिटेरियन नॉन वेजिटेरियन
यस गॉड हैज गिवन हर्ब्स ऑन देयर appetite, no?
Correct. So, this is going to be restored back in God's kingdom. Okay, brother? that is the last coin. That is the reason. What did that woman do? She lost that coin, no? What did she do? She searched, she got it. As soon as she got it, what did she do? Tell me, what did she do? In the parable we read now, brother, she searched the coin. She got the coin. What did she do with the coin?
Because she cannot...
No. What did the woman do with the coin in the parable? We read now. Read it again. Let us read. No problem. Come to Luke. Okay, brother. Book of Luke 16 chapter 15 chapter 15 verse 9
And when she had found it, she called her friend and her neighbor together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost.
What did she do, brother?
Yes, she rejoiced.
Then?
Calling their neighbor, calling their relatives.
Yes. That is the rejoicing, brother. We have the truth about 1,000 years. Rejoice! God's blessing is not only for us, but for the entire world. The whole world. Let it be Hindus, Muslims, Sikh, Buddhist, atheist, everybody. Jesus died for everybody. He is going to return second coming for everybody. There is going to be salvation for everybody. There is going to be a resurrection for everybody. Everybody is going to come back to life. And this earth is going to be a beautiful garden of Eden. This truth Nobody has. Everybody are dissolved in their own weird ideas today in the churches. Where is this coin? Why this coin is not spoken of at all? In the resurrection, everybody will come. Why is not spoken? Everybody tells that as soon as a man dies, his soul goes to hell or heaven. Then why is the resurrection? This is the last coin. So as we found that coin, you see, the real church, what will she do? She will not keep it for self. She will witness to everybody. Think about the beautiful plan for everybody, Buddha, where the lion will eat straw. You see, the leopard and the calf will lie together. A small child will play with it. There'll be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death at all. This has to be shared to the suffering world. Not only to our friends, not only to our Christian friends, but for neighbors, for the whole world. This is the meaning of that coin. Okay, brother, got it, brother? The last coin?
Yes, brother.
So now the 10th coin is second death. Okay? So second death means what? We are all released from first death by sacrifice of Jesus. Then what is the meaning of second death? After coming to the knowledge of truth, if we sin willfully, then where will we go? We will go to second death. Read Hebrews. We will take this in detail in coming class. But in short, just read one verse. Hebrews. Sixth chapter.
Hebrews 6.
One minute. Verse 6.
If they shall fall away, do renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
They put him to open shame. Crucifying Christ again. This is their behavior. Read Hebrews 10:26. It is more clear there. Hebrews 10:26.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins.
Mm-hmm. See, after learning the truth, if we keep on sinning and believing all lies, then where will we go? There's no more sacrifice. Christ has died for our sins. But if you sin willfully, we'll go to second. We'll see in detail in the coming class. Now, how many coins were there? Ten.
Ten.
So, if we have five, will Christ accept us?
We need to have ten.
Ten. Very good, Buddha. No, brother. No problem, brother. Tenth coin you leave, brother. I'll have nine coins. Means, will Christ accept?
No.
Rebecca, to marry Isaac, how many camels did she feed with water? Rebecca.
Ten?
Ten, correct. Ten camels. See, in a ten, Bible, ten, 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 ten. How many virgins? Parable. Ten virgins. You got it, no? So, we should have the complete truth. Truth should be there. Where? Where the coin should be there, brother? It should be in pocket or in head.
It needs to be shared for all.
That coin, we just can't keep it in a cupboard. Keep it safely, lock it. The coin should be placed on the head. The woman, where did she put that band? On the head. Correct, no?
Yeah.
So, head means what? We tell now you don't have head at all. Head means what, brother?
Evidence for all.
Correct. So, head means understanding. You see? We tell now for people, some people, school teachers in the college and all, they tell you don't have head at all, man. Head means what? Brains, intelligence, knowledge, understanding. Correct, no? Head means what? Understanding. This has to be in our understanding, in our mind. It should be there in our heart. Only then can we become the bride of Jesus. Correct, no? Will Jesus marry a foolish virgin?
No.
Then wise virgin, wise. Have the 10 coins. Okay. So this is the meaning of the parable of the 10 coins. Got it, brother?
Yes, brother.
Any doubts, any questions?
No.